morning start. It is 10 o'clock right on the nose. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I pray you'll bless this time as we talk about teenagers and adult children. Thank you for all this host of ladies that's here, that they came to learn and grow. And I pray, Lord, that you'll direct our steps. I pray that we'll say just what you want us to say as you want us to say it. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought I'd start out a little bit. Any of you, without being very specific, would like to share a frustration with teenagers or adult children? A frustration without being too specific and putting your kids down. Just, you know, some kind of a frustration. Yes, Natalie?
One of them is when they're adults and it's hard to give counsel and not see them not take it.
Right.
So hard.
Right, right.
And then the other one is teenagers and their attitude.
Apple.
That's what I want.
Right, right. Yes, ma'am?
They don't do what you tell them to anymore.
That's it. Yes, ma'am?
I have secretive.
Being secretive, right, right.
The distance.
Everything you're saying, I got it in here already. I'm ready for you. Yes, ma'am?
57-year-old and 55-year-old are now believing that they can tell mother what to do.
Yeah.
They tell me what to do, and I have to do it. So cute. Yes, ma'am?
The mouth and
disrespect. Disrespect, right. Yes, ma'am?
Disrespect.
Disrespect?
My older two addiction issues. Incarcerated.
The heartaches.
Yes.
I understand. Yes, ma'am?
Not being
honest with you. Yes, ma'am? She said they think they're roommates, but they don't pay for anything. I love that. Well, I am going to talk to you today about teen and adult children, and we're going to focus on one verse. Proverbs 18:14. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to open it up to there. Proverbs 18:14. I believe this is my life verse for teenagers and adults. Okay? And I'm going to explain it to you, what I think I'm supposed to do with teenagers and adults. Okay? So, the Bible says, if you have it open now, I want you to read it out loud with me. Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. On the count of three, we're going to start. 1, 2, 3. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Okay, so what I believe my job right now with my adult children is to try to keep building their spirit. Okay? That's all I can do. You know what I mean? I wrote these things down. Training is over, ladies. You know, you cannot, when they get to be teenagers, you can still have influence in their lives. But you really can't train them very well after they're teenagers. You know, like I people tell me all the time, my kids don't call me. You know, getting them to call you on a regular basis, that would be a training thing. That you can't get them to do it. You know, I now have children that are distanced from me. You know, they're not around me all the time. And they don't call me all the time. And it's okay. I just have to be okay with it. And with teenagers, you can, Mrs. Evans taught me this as part of trying to keep training teenagers. The way that you train teenagers now is by asking them questions. You know, get them to think, you know, because you can't just keep dictating to them what to do and telling them how to do it and what you think they should do. You know, we still want to, remember the word that you're supposed to think of when you think of teenagers and adults is influence. What's the word?
Influence.
So you can still have influence in their lives. But let me tell you something, you'll cut the influence off if you continue to try to dictate, make your little comments, you know, say things. You know, all of us are seeing teenagers, like you said, with the disrespect. Now, if they're living in your home and they're living under your roof, we should expect some respect. And instead of saying that was disrespectful, you say, now, do you feel like that you're saying that in a respectful manner? asking them questions. You know, I can help you, but if you talk to me in the right way, it would make it easier for me to talk to you. But you know what we want to do? We want to shoot back at them and react. That's not helping their spirit. See, when they have a bad spirit, you have to be the one that overcomes it with your spirit. You know, when I'm around my kids now, I have to really work at making sure I have the right spirit. Because they irritate me. They say things, I think, where did that come from? I didn't teach you that. You know, you all like that? You know, all right, where did that come from? But I just keep thinking, I got to have a good spirit, because if I have a good spirit, then I will say the right things, and I can encourage their spirit. So training's over. Let me say something to you. The financial part of it, you cannot train teenagers. You can help your teenagers by giving them a budget. They now have these cards, you know, that you could say, this is how much you have per week or per month to spend, whatever you want to do to try to continue training them in their finances. But with adult children, you just got to close your eyes to what they're doing with their finances. Some of us watch and we see they're running up a credit card. You know, they're buying this car and then they got rid of this car and got rid of this other car. You know, you just see all this and you think, why would they do? And you can't make any comments. I mean, really and truly, the training is over. Then the second thing I want you to realize about this is the rescuing is over. You know, all of you that have teenagers, don't help them fix their problems. If they're having problems in school, if they want you to help them know how to fix it, then you talk it out with them and to train them, not to train them, but to help them to know how to deal with it. But don't rescue them. Don't come in, don't go to the school and do something to fix it. You know, it's not your job to rescue them. You know, they got this thing about mama bears. You know that? There's a mama bear thing going around that the mamas are supposed to come in and swoop in. I don't know where that came from, but I don't see that in the Bible. You know what I mean? We're not supposed to swoop in and rescue and fix. We're supposed to just keep on influencing. We're supposed to keep on trying to teach them how to do it by, if they're willing to listen. Say, you know, like if my teenager came to me and they had a situation in their school, I would ask them questions to try to get them to realize if there's something they're doing, or ask them questions on who they could go to get help. You know, I can't tell you how important it is to ask questions. But those questions can't be prying questions. Why did you do that? I'm not talking like that, because that's not really, that doesn't require an answer, because you're trying to get them to see that was stupid. But ask. Mrs. Evans taught me this many, many years ago. I have practiced it. When they become teenagers, I start asking them questions. You know, so rescuing is over. Practicing tough love. Of course, with the kind of family that I grew up with, you know, with all the alcoholism and all the junk that my family has done and continue to do. If I told you stories, you'd say, wow, they are pretty bad. My family is very bad. But I've not tried to rescue anybody in there. And by having to live with these people with problems, I have learned very well how to practice tough love. Right? Then, if you do loan them money, make them pay it back. Amen. You know, don't. Brother Heil said that you should never loan money. If you're going to give somebody, especially a relative, money, then take it as a gift. But if part of rescuing is over, then I'm saying to you, if you do loan and you're saying it's a loan, make sure that they're trying to make a dollar a week even. Just for their character's sake. You know, we mamas have got to quit rescuing. It's not good for you. It's not good for them. With small children, it's all about control. I got two grandkids traveling with me now. A 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Can I tell you? It's an interesting life. Amanda, you're going to see them this summer. And that 4-year-old, she says the most bizarre things. I think she's my personality. My daughter thinks she is too, because she knows no strangers. We walked into a church first time that her and my daughter had ever been there. She walked up to the preacher and punched him in the belly. Said, "Hey, how you doing?" Who does that? You know what I mean? Baby Loretta. Then we were in a church, and the church had just gotten a new playground. Right? And she was out playing on the playground. The preacher was trying to connect with her. Sweet, nice man, you know. And he said, "Did you like my playground?" "Oh, yeah, I love it, preacher." And he said, "What about that slide? Is it a nice slide?" "Oh, I like the slide. It's a very nice slide." And he said, "Well, do you think I should go on the slide?" "Oh," she said, "no, preacher, you can't. Your bunkum's too big." Yeah, I'm telling you. So, control. Trying to control that is interesting, you know. But that's what it's all about, up until junior age. Then when junior age is over, then it's just part of your talking to them, working them through situations in life, knowing how to help them in the best way. So, these are my 3 points, and then we'll be done. Number 1 point says that we should encourage their dreams. Encourage their dreams. Now, some of you, when we're talking about teenagers, encourage their dreams is trying to, if they do say, "I want to go to college." If they do say, I want to go on the mission field. If they do, whatever it is, you should try to encourage it. We should be, with the Spirit, we're trying to encourage what they want to do with their life. And listen, can I say this? Whoever that they marry, you got to encourage their dreams of that person being part of your family. You know, nobody ever wants to get married and then the mom not like the daughter-in-law. And doesn't it seem like it's the daughter-in-laws that we have the worst problems with? Yeah, you're laughing because you know it's true, don't you? Because they didn't grow up in your home. They don't know you. They don't understand you. But encourage their dreams. If you are just an encourager, like sometimes one of my sons will call me and he'll start telling me all these things he's going to do. And I just say, "Oh, that sounds exciting." That's my word. Sounds exciting. Am I for it really? I don't know. You know, I'm not sure it's really good for him to do it. I'm not sure he should, you know. And one of the things that I always say, "What's your wife say about it?" You know, I don't want to say that, right? Because I don't really care what she says. No. No, I care about him being married. You know, somebody said that they miss their, what was it? Secret, I don't know, somebody said something. What, distance, the distance. And I thought in my heart, I have had to learn that when they got married, that there was a natural distance that comes, and you should welcome it. I had a pastor's wife come up to me one time, and she said, "My son and I used to be so close, and now he never talks to me." And I thought, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I have had a very close relationship with both my boys, but now I just talk to them once in a while. But that's the way it's supposed to be, because they're supposed to leave us and cleave to their wife. And we've got to accept that. So encourage their dream, whatever it is. Encourage their occupation. You know, don't be afraid. If your son wants to be a policeman, don't be afraid and discourage his dreams about that. Be pioneers to say, "You know what? It sounds scary and I'll have to pray a lot for you, but go ahead, go for it. Get that, go after it." So encourage their dream. See, that's when you build somebody's spirit, you're encouraging them to do what they want to do or what they feel like God wants them to do. How many mothers have held back their children because they didn't want them to be a preacher because of the finances? You know, preachers are poor. You know that, right? No wonder when Shelley was talking about her Adam taking over Majesty, I'm sure those lawyer bills are very high. But you know, it's remarkable. His parents said, "No, go for it. God will take care of it." Yeah. You know, you understand though, in my mind, the way that I can watch my spirit and help encourage my children is I have to realize that they are God's children.
Amen.
This is when I wrote in the magazine about Jeannie's situation. And I'm going to say just a little bit more in here than I would anywhere else. Pastor Ray asked me if I was going to talk about it. And I said, I don't feel like I can. This year, you know. Plus, I don't even know if it's my story to tell. So, anyway, But I will tell you this. Whenever my son-in-law, whenever Jeannie met him, he was wonderful and everything looked great. Mm-hmm. You know? But then things happened and we realized that he had some serious mental issues going on that we didn't know about. But she was already married when it all came out. So what do you do after that? You just jump on board with it.
Amen.
And you just encourage her as much as you can. But this is what where I was going. Jeannie prayed a lot before she married this young man. I prayed all from when she was a baby till the time she was married. I really believe it was God's will for her life to marry this man that had mental illnesses. And some of you all, some of you don't have the strong faith that you need to go through with what you're going through with your children. And you need faith. You need that strength from God to know how to deal with their disrespect. You know, so that you're not reacting to them, but that you are acting. You know, and you're doing things on purpose. And you're keeping your focus on their spirit. I can't tell you how much, as a teenager, you're just continually working on their spirit. So, I realized that she split up with him for a whole year, 2 years ago, and he got things right, and we thought he did really good for 1 year. And then things went down again, and finally in May, she had to kick him out of the house, and we practiced a lot of tough love. I encouraged her to practice a lot of tough love. Like when she called me and she was going to do this, I said, that sounds good, you know. And we just practiced a lot of tough love. Then, so he went out of the house in May, and then by June, he'd been on bad drugs and he took his life. And it's just, how could this happen to my daughter?
Right?
But can I say this? God, she's not just my daughter.
Right.
She's God's daughter. And all of you, whoever it is that you're having problems with right now, teenagers, you've got to give that child to God. Mm-hmm. And you've got to say, you know what? I cannot know what's best for this child. I can help direct them. I can encourage them. But I can't know what's best. I just got to trust you with them. And some of us got to quit being that mama bear and just say, hey, you know what? Some of our kids need to suffer a little bit without us rescuing them and helping them. They need to suffer. Some of you have husbands that have said this to you, and you've sort of ignored them and snuck around. Can I tell you, you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting your marriage. You know, the first relationship that you have an obligation to is to your marriage. Then it's children. Some of us, when they get to be adults, we sort of get cattywampus. And we start thinking, we've got to do all this, and we've got to take care of them, and it's not how it's supposed to be. So, number one, encourage their dreams. And please, while you're encouraging their dreams, realize that you need spiritual strength so that you can trust God to make their dreams come true. And trust that they're going to be spiritual enough to make the right decisions. And then if they don't make the right decisions, ladies, do you know what? Then let them chips fall where they may. Because some of us, I really believe there are adult women who interfere with God working in the lives of their own children. I think that's true. Number two, and this is a big one. Oh boy, is this a big one. Allow them to be different. As teenagers, they're starting to take on their own being. This is a silly, can I say, this is almost a silly illustration, but I always have illustrations. My husband always wears a collared shirt. You know, he just thinks that's supposed to be, you know. A little weird thing about me is most of the time I wear hose. You know, that's who I am, you know. When our kids got to be teenagers, though, our boys wanted to wear t-shirts. You know, and Kevin and I sat down and talked about it. And we thought, t-shirts? It just looks so casual, you know, and they're sloppy. You know, all the things that we thought. But you know what? Our boys grew up wearing t-shirts. We even bought them t-shirts to wear. Bought them long enough, though, because, you know, bending over and all that stuff. Oh, anyway. That'd be a little funny, you know. You'll go to sleep on me. But some of us have this As long as it's not sinful, you ought to allow it, is what I'm saying. Allow them, as teenagers, allow them to be a little different. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about here, and I'm not trying to talk about going into sin. I'm just saying there's small things, you know, that you can relax on. You know, maybe a type of shirt that the girl wants to wear, whatever. If you can give a little bit in an area that doesn't become sin, it'll help your relationship with that teenager. Now, allow them to be different. When they're adults, boy, is the when the children, grandchildren start coming. Isn't that when it's the hardest? You don't know yet, Amanda, but it's going to happen. Because they've married somebody that was trained in a different family. And so their child rearing might be completely different. And like, you can't decide when they are introduced to solid food. You know what I mean? What? And I had a lady one time come talk to me because she had a daughter-in-law that was, she didn't think she was feeding the baby enough food. And I said, the baby will not starve to death.
That's right.
But your relationship with your daughter-in-law matters. So shut up. There's no other nice way to say it. When somebody comes in that strong and saying, my daughter-in-law won't feed her baby and it just kills me. And I go over there and the baby's crying and I know it's because it's hungry. She just got into this tirade and I knew she was out of control. You know, we get out of control when we have our self-righteous and think we know how it has to be. And when they're supposed to introduce food and when they're supposed to potty train them and when they're supposed to... You know what? Can I just ease all of our minds? They will not go to college wearing diapers. You know, you all get out of perspective because you know, think you know, all we have is influence and encouraging them, you know. And so that lady, I said to her, I said, I'm just telling you, if you don't shut up, the daughter-in-law is going to take your son away from you.
That's right.
And you won't have a relationship with either one because he has got to choose his wife. If you make him choose, he should choose his wife. You know, that's just biblical. Some of us don't think Bible. We think feelings.
True.
You know, I had this boy for 18 years, and now he's got this woman in his life. But I'm just telling you. So, let them be different. So, this lady, to finish the story, 2 years after I told her this, I came back. She ran up to me and hugged me and said, you were so right. I said, I'm not right. It's the Bible. It's a biblical principle. You're supposed to just... All you can have is a little influence, but you cannot dictate what happens with that grandkids. I'm really glad. I was really glad when I didn't have grandkids around me all the time. Because I don't have to see all the mistakes that I think that they're making. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but I'm a very opinionated woman. Anybody, am I talking to people that understand me? Yeah. I have a way, I think I did the best job, you know, and I think I knew everything. I read all these books, you know, I'm so knowledgeable. But you got to just let them be different. And can I say this? The second part of this is whatever happens, those grandchildren are God's children too. If we're talking to a group of ladies and your adult children have went a different way with the Bible or with their standards or with a church or whatever it is. They went a different way. Can I say this? You can pray for your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do. And still have influence and encouraging them. But I wouldn't fuss about it. I would never mention it to the kids if they're different than you are now. I would just avoid that subject at all costs. Find whatever common ground you can have and live in that common ground. That's what you do. You know, we live a frustrated life because our adult children go a different direction. Why? I'm still who I am. I'm not going to change. If they change, it's okay. You know, but you all we get frustrated. You know, I talk to, there's a new philosophy with how many women are 30 and under in here? 30 and under? Oh, older 30. Well, I seem to see in the 30s somewhere, younger women, they have a new philosophy where the men are supposed to help take care of the children as much as the women. Have you all seen this? Yeah. I have people calling me and they say, my daughter-in-law. A lady just told me this a couple weeks ago. She said, I was FaceTiming on the phone with my son. They just had a baby. And the daughter-in-law brings him a diaper and says, here, change your diaper. She's dirty. She said, I always change the baby's diaper. See? But she is, and she said, I just couldn't believe it. You know, why would you hand it to him when I'm talking to him on the phone when you can take care of it yourself, right? But there's a different philosophy in life now. We've got young women that feel entitled. Can you change it? We just got to accept it and love whatever they are, however they think. And if part of the reason why is your son, he's a good dad. You know, if he wants to be more involved in the children, changing their diapers, and it's, you know, 80-20 instead of, and that's what it used to be for me. I took care of the kids 80% and Kevin did 20%. But now it's, a lot of it, they think it's 50-50. If that's a new philosophy, let them be different. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't change these kids now. The training's over. All we want to do is keep having a good spirit with them and them and encouraging their spirit. I got stuck on that one. The last one. Number three is love their spouse and friends. Oh, let me just tell you this. And I did not grow up with the kind of love I'm talking about here. I had a lot of conditional love. Like, if you do this, then I'll love you. You know, that's the kind of love I grew up with. You know, some of you need to realize that maybe because you grew up with conditional love, you might be putting that on your teenagers and your God. You know, Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes him very sad, right? Well, when your teenagers need to feel loved no matter what they're doing. Like, even when they're being disrespectful to you. Somehow, when you react to them and you get mad at them, that makes them feel like, you only love me when I'm good, Mom. That they should never feel that way. They have always got to feel like Mom's love is unconditional. Now, because I didn't grow up with that, I even had to learn how to give that kind of love. I didn't see it. I didn't witness it. Clean up to the death of my mom, I never saw unconditional love with her. She only liked me when I was doing what she wanted me to do. You know, and that's sad. But can I tell you, you all that are practicing this conditional love, it's going to be hard on your teenagers and your adult children. They're smart enough. They got the goods together. They know whether you really love them, or they know that you're embarrassed by them, or they know that you're frustrated with them. You know, you got to get over showing all these emotions to them. I used to teach open communication a lot to people in a home. When you said this, it made me feel that way, and I reacted. You know, but sometimes people take it wrong, and they think that gives them the opportunity to tell everybody what they're feeling. No, I'm talking about, I did this wrong because you said that and I overreacted and I was wrong. I think open communication is you putting yourself down, not you getting them to see your point so that they change. You know, you can't change these people. You know, if you do change them, it's through love and acceptance. You know, I just can't explain to you how much I believe we're supposed to be working on the spirit of our teenagers and our adult children. When you're with them, I think that should be your whole focus. I was just with my family that's down in Yuma, Arizona, 2 weeks ago. And every day I thought of this verse. Every day when I had any communication with them, because I want to be right. You know, some of you trust yourself. It's way too much. You know, you think, oh, it's my son. I can do this. No, you got to be so careful. You know, and if you love them, you'll want to be that careful, and you'll want to make sure that you are giving unconditional love to them. You know, and part of that unconditional love is staying back and being what they want you to be. Not, how many of you know the five love languages? Anybody you've taught, you know, there's touch, and, you know, there's five different love languages. Most of us, want love the way we like to receive it, right? But instead, I believe we're supposed to, especially when they become teenagers and adults, we're supposed to learn what their love language is, and we're supposed to give them that love in the way that they want it. And for some people, it might be keeping a distance. I might be doing them a great favor by keeping them a distance. You know, if that's what they want, I'm going to do it. See, some of us have this idea of love that everybody's supposed to love us the way that we want to be loved. But I don't really believe that's true. I believe I'm supposed to love the way they want me to love them. You know, if that means a daily call, a weekly call, a monthly call, no call, and getting together a couple times a year. Whatever it means, that's what I'm going to do. Boy, your teenagers, ladies, your teenagers, they need you to love them unconditionally. They should never feel like mom's mad at me, mom's upset with me. You know, you got to find a way to hide those feelings and get back to encouraging them and building their spirit, building their confidence, and helping them to be what they're supposed to be. All these points are really, they originate with Marlene Evans. She started teaching me. I remember sitting on an airplane with her one time, and Jeannie was just becoming a teenager, and I said, okay, Miss Evans, teach me about teenagers. And she said, Loretta, just shut up and ask them questions. She liked to say shut up, you know, because she said shut up to herself, but she could say it to me too. But, you know, asking them lots of questions to help them think through what they're supposed to do. So these are principles that I wanted to go over with you. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then if you have some questions, specific questions, we've got about 4 minutes that we could go through a few questions. Father, thank you for these ladies. Oh, teenagers and adult children, Lord, they're so hard because we can't control them anymore. Will you please, Lord, help us to know how to work with them? Lord, specifically, if there's somebody here and they're making their teenager feel like they're displeased with them all the time, would you help them to realize that and to overcome it? If there's somebody here and they're putting too much pressure on the adult children, would you help them to realize it and to make a decision right now to stop? Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, God has shown me through this talk some things that I could change about a relationship in my life. Either a teenager or adult child. Anybody like that? Wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for these ladies. Thank you for teaching me so much, Lord. I still got a lot to learn, and I'm still trying to learn. But, Lord, I thank you that I've been around the right people, and I've been open to learn and grow. And I pray now that you'll help us as we continue in this meeting. I pray we'll keep learning and growing and being what we're supposed to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Anybody got a fast question? We've got 4 minutes. Yes, ma'am.
What about the droopy pants?
The droopy pants? Yeah. You just... If it's not sinful. Do you think it's sinful? Do they show their hiney? I don't think you... Are you talking about teenager or adult? Teenager? I think that is... All you have is a way to influence them by asking them. You know, can I take a picture and let you see what it looks like? Really, could I do that? I just want you to see. You know, and ask them, could you just look at it in the eyes, through our eyes? You know, that is very hard to take. But you got to choose your battles. And that's part of the issue with these teenagers. You got to choose your battles. What do you want to fight with them about? You know, keeping them in church and all those things. The most important. That's good. Good question. Does that help you at all? I would ask. I really would ask them. Say, could I take a picture and let you actually see what it looks like from the back end? You know, does anybody really want to show their? No. Anybody else got a question? Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to figure out how to word it. So, basically, like, say you used to ask a question to help them solve, work through their problem, right? But they take it, like you were saying, like some people take it the wrong way. So my 15-year-old, he does have mental issues and stuff. So we're trying to work with that and also work with the teenagers because he's 15.
Right. You got both. So she's got mental issues going on plus being a teenager. That's very hard.
So how do you, because I mean, when he comes back, sometimes it's like, you like you said, you know that sometimes they're in the wrong and stuff, but sometimes he'll admit that he's done wrong, but he doesn't acknowledge, like actually like, he's like, oh, okay, so what?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you do?
Two things that I can think of for you right now is you should be bombarding yourself. Get that book. You should be making it a study of how to help somebody with mental issues. Because you are dealing with two different problems. See, I've always been a very teachable person. And when I've had a situation in my life, I read books. We have podcasts galore, you know, with people that know how to deal with mental issues. I'd be listening to things to know how to help him. And then the second thing that I think is before you say anything, I think you need to pause. Whenever he says something or you're going to talk to him, I would pause and say, Father, help me to know how to say this. I think you need more direction. Because I don't know you, so this is what's nice. I know that a lot of times I had to say, Father, help me to know what to say, because I want to say it like I would say it because of where I came from. You know, no matter what, I'm 50 years away from that life, but I'm telling you, I still have it in me. Those first 5 years are so important in the child's life that I think they're ingrained in me. Those problems are ingrained in me, and I think I'm going to take them to the grave. So I have to pause so I know what to say and why I'm saying it. And just, you know, awareness of God in your life as you're talking, just always knowing. Even 2 weeks ago when I was with my kids, I remember there was one time that the husband and wife were talking, and the wife said something that I didn't like she said about my son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how that is? Y'all have those problems too? And I paused, and I said, Father, help me not to be irritated by that. I did. She's just being a wife, you know. I make fun of my husband, don't I? You know, but I don't want her making fun of my son. You know, so I remember I paused. Okay, Father, help me to understand. This is okay. It's not a big deal. Right? So I think those two things would be very good for you, dear. Yes, ma'am. You have your hand up? No, you're just resting your hand. I thought it was resting right there like that. I'm going to make Miss Pat. Okay, anybody else got something? Yes, ma'am?
So adult children, accepting and encouraging when they've gone completely into the sinful world. How do you
find a common ground. Mrs. Evans taught me this. You have to find some kind of a common ground and encourage whatever you can. Like she told me, I remember one time a lady was dealing with her son who he had gone completely off, but he liked motorcycles. So Mrs. Evans said, buy a motorcycle book, magazines. You know, you find something that you can encourage him in to let him know that area is okay. You know, maybe you don't like motorcycles. Maybe you're scared of them. You know, you pray more for him because he's riding them. But you still let him have them and you let him to talk about them to you. It's hard to find common ground when you're here and they're way over here. Right. But the more you can, somehow, you know, like if you and I sat down and talk, I could ask you questions and say, let's find some common ground somewhere. Because sometimes you have to dig a lot to find the common ground. Because the more you're alike, the more common all your ground is. But the more you're different, you got to search more. Does that help you? It's really hard, though. I understand. I talked to a lady last year that her adult children have completely, they married the son married a woman that doesn't believe in God.
Oh, wow.
Now, this was really hard for me to take.
Wow.
She said, now we're not allowed to talk about God in front of the grandchildren.
Wow.
They don't go to church, of course. He doesn't act like God's ever been in his life. And that would be very, very hard. But you just find areas of fun, you know, that you can still be a fun grandma, you know, and just try to keep some kind of influence in there and begging God. You know, a mother's prayers, that fixes everything. You know, and the more you're praying, the more you're believing God can fix it rather than you think you have to do something to fix it. Okay, we have to be dismissed. It's time. Thank you. Thank you.